The What I Watch Tonight Show.
Good morning, afternoon or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the What I Watch Tonight Show. My name is Matt Hudson and I am the moustache twirling big bad behind the site whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. In these episodes I chat with a guest who specialises in or simply just loves movies. Whether they're a blogger, reviewer, director, screenwriter, actor, we have a chat, we throw some questions at them, and we just talk some movies. Otherwise this show would be pretty boring. Joining me on the show tonight is YouTube movie reviewing royalty, Tyler Calvert. How the bloody hell are you?
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
Not too bad, thank you very much. Hope you don't mind me calling you royalty.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll appreciate it. I'll take it.
Why not? Firstly, whereabouts are you calling it from?
Oh, I'm like a little bit outside of Baltimore in Maryland on the east coast of the U.S.,
I don't know much about Maryland. Over here in England, we have cookies which are called Maryland, but they've got nothing to do.
Really?
They've got nothing to do with the United States. That's pretty much my only connection to Maryland. But
yeah, it's like an hour from DC. So I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay, I know they got some sports franchises there, but I am behind on Baltimore. So maybe by the end of the show, I'll have one fact about Baltimore which I can tell everyone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're known for a couple things, like, you know, some of our sports teams. We're known for our seafood. We have Maryland crab cakes, are pretty, you know, world-renowned.
That sounds awesome. Already?
Yeah.
I'm a massive fan of seafood, so I'm contemplating just getting on the plane tomorrow, sodding work off, and having a Baltimore crab cake.
It would definitely be worth it. It would be worth your time.
if my work gets me phoning in sick tomorrow, I hope they haven't heard this. So
I'm sure they'll understand.
Yeah, you will, of course. So movies and crab cakes aside, what else takes up the time of your days?
Well, I am looking to go back to school. I mean, I've kind of been procrastinating that for a long time, actually. But other than movies, TV shows, because I watch a lot of TV, although I don't review it on my channel. Just regular old stuff, you know, hanging out with friends or playing Fortnite or God of War recently, because I'm playing on a lot of God of War lately. And sports, like I said, sports teams, you know, follow sports, mostly baseball and football, though.
Is that that's American football, isn't it?
Yes.
NFL,
I don't
sorry.
Believe, I don't believe we have like a soccer team like that. But I'm not sure. I don't follow soccer as you know, as well as I do with other sports.
Can't think of a Baltimore soccer team in the MLS anyway. I don't mind American football. I've seen a baseball game. I saw the Pittsburgh Pirates way back when, because I've got family live over there. So I follow a lot of the teams there, and the Penguins, I've followed them for 20, 25 years.
It's funny you mention that, though, because a lot of the teams in the Pittsburgh area are rivals of Baltimore teams.
Yes, they would be, yeah.
Because the Baltimore Ravens, for example, in American football, their biggest rival is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Of course they would be, yeah. So I feel like I should have some animosity towards you if I followed NFL more.
Oh, yeah. There's another fellow YouTube movie reviewer friend of mine, John, a.k.a. The Real Talk. He's a Steelers fan as well, so we go back and forth between, you know, sports and movies, because, you know, we're opposing teams, but we also, you know, share common ground with movies, so it all works out in the end.
Yeah, and you seem like a nice chap, so I'll lay off the sporting rivalries.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind. I mean, it's all good fun.
if some of your movies are rubbish, I'll wail on you for that, so. So, well, you are what they, or these people, call a YouTuber. So how long have you been doing that for? Why YouTube? And what part of that aspect do you enjoy the most?
So I think I've been doing it for a little over a year now, because I started in February of last year, because my first video I uploaded was for Get Out, the Jordan Peele movie from last February.
Still a bad film to start with.
I know. That's one of those things. Like, that's when I look back and I think, yeah, that's the movie I started with. So it has like an extra special, you know, special place in my heart for it. But yeah, I mean, it's just fun. It's just all fun just talking about movies. I mean, I've always enjoyed movies, as you know, in general, as a, you know, I guess as a hobby, so to speak, because I mean, YouTube stuff is pretty much a hobby. Then it just, you know, maybe it'll spiral into something else, but at the time I'm just enjoying what I'm doing, and befriending a bunch of other fellow movie lovers and just doing my thing.
Well, yeah, just on that note, there seems to be a really awesome community amongst the movie reviewers on YouTube, and everyone seems to work together and collaborate on projects. How have you found that? And, you know, who are some of your top online blog buddies?
Well, the thing with collaborations, it's funny because, like, I did fairly well with my first year or so, just, and I didn't even really collab with anybody. I mean, I befriended a lot of people, but I didn't really do any type of collabs until, you know, last couple of months, like 2018. And then I've done like a ton of them, especially in the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, like I said earlier, John from The Real Talk, Zach Pope, Ryan O'Toole, Almost Sideways, Adam Daly. I mean, I've done a lot of collaborations with all of them over the last couple weeks. I mean, leading up to Infinity War, because there was a lot of Avengers related stuff. But other than them, I mean, Fraser Jubb is also another good friend of mine. Ironically enough, speaking of podcasts, him and I were going to do a podcast. Not a lot of people know this, but we were going to plan on doing a podcast, but then he got a little busy with applications to become, you know, film school and all that, because he's actually going to one of the more prestigious, like, places that Gareth Edwards went to for like schooling and stuff. You know, Gareth Edwards is pretty well known, so I figured that's just you know, Rogue One, Godzilla, no big deal.
Yeah, he kind of knows what he's doing, but
yeah. But other than those, I mean, other, you know, channels I follow frequently are just like, you know, Silver Screen Analysis is really good. He's very underrated, and the BS Review, they're two people. And Screencrawler are also two people that I also really enjoy. I mean, I could go on for hours for how many people I enjoy, like, you know, like Douglas Beamer, a couple other people. But I'm trying to collaborate with all of them, but like there's only so much time, you know.
That's what I noticed. You did the Infinity War spoiler heavy video recently with four other guys, and I guess that's the best way to get everybody on board, is basically just to say, right, we're all going to do it together rather than just two people at a time.
Yeah, that's the thing, is those are people I've been friends with for such a long time, and we've been planning that one for a long time. A couple months, actually, you know, just setting it up, you know, between me, Zach Pope, John from The Real Talk, Ryan O'Toole, Tom Fajoli, and Cody Curtis was supposed to be there, but he was sick, so he didn't get a chance to be in on the spoiler discussion. But yeah, but I mean, like, it was really fun. It was like, it was just something we had been building up for a while, that we're going to have this big, you know, all of us come together. And I'd already done a live stream the previous week on Ryan O'Toole's channel talking about MCU, like everything in the MCU up to this point, well, until Infinity War. So I've been I've been doing a lot of MCU related stuff. And I did a collab video, well, guest review with on Adam Daly on the Sideways channel talking about Iron Man. So like I said, I've been all over the place lately. And then I'm doing another collab with Ryan O'Toole on his channel, because he's doing all the Pixar films leading up to Incredibles 2. So I'm doing that with him, and I'm doing Finding Nemo. So like I said, there's only so much time. I'm trying to do everything I can. I've got then I've got this podcast, of course, which I, you know, was, you know, honored to do.
Thank you.
You know, squeezed it in, you know, squeezed it in between everything. And then I got, you know, other couple of plans down the road, you know, plus releasing my own content. So it's been busy, but I can't complain. I like what I'm doing.
No, the next thing you'll know, you'll be about 40 years old when you check your clock watch by the time you've got all that out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm 24 now, so I mean, I got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I haven't. I asked that because I've had YouTube movie dude Cody Curtis on the show. He was my guest, and he's a top guy. I really enjoyed speaking with him, and I know you worked with him on the Sweet Film Awards, I believe.
Yeah, they asked me to contribute to that as far as like my picks for that. So
it was a good show, so I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I was because I did that. That was with Zach Pope and all them too. Collaborators I've been doing with recently, just a lot of different stuff, like with these people I mentioned, and some other people I'll do stuff with in the very near future that I haven't like set in stone yet, but there are things coming.
Watch this space, guys, because we've already had one mini scoop that he was about to do, almost did a podcast, so, and there's more stuff to come. So you mentioned that first video, Get Out. I haven't had the chance to see that one. I usually like going back to check out the first ones, but I haven't had a chance to check that first one out. What I was going to say was, do you remember what it was? But obviously you do. But what's changed since then? Have you got better? I don't know. How do you feel you've come across in the year?
I like to think I've gotten better. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to go back and watch my first several videos. It's just because I'm sure I did okay, but I'm sure, like, you know, going back, because I'm one of my own worst critics, whereas, like, I'm one of those people that like to, I overanalyze things where I got to make sure everything's perfect, where, like, if when I'm doing my videos, if I mess up, like, once, I just redo the whole line. I don't, like, just cut and paste and make it work. I usually just, like, okay, well, I messed up, so let me go back and just redo the whole thing and remember it, memorize it, and all that. And just editing in general. I mean, editing is always one of those things that, you know, you get better at as you keep doing it. Because I had, you know, before that video, I had never edited anything before to make it look presentable in that way, like in a video format. Like, I mean, I've done like stuff with school, like PowerPoint presentations and stuff with computers and stuff like that. But that's completely different when it comes to YouTube videos and just
something which you're going to put out to the world.
Yeah. And not only that, but just like being more comfortable in front of a camera and, you know, be basically just talking to yourself for a couple of minutes and making sure you stare into the camera and you're not just looking all over the place, not realizing that you're just looking up, looking up in the sky when you should be, like, you know, giving your attention to the camera. Yeah. I mean, just little things like that, and just like getting better with, I guess, criticism in general, and just, you know, getting my points across and keeping them more concise. Cause over time, my videos have gotten shorter. Well, shorter in a sense, cause they're not like short, but they're shorter than they used to be, just because, like, I ramble, you know, rambling on and all that stuff.
Well, I like the conciseness of those videos. They're up there. I mean, they're about, what, 5 minutes in length, kind of average time?
Yeah, it's usually between 5 and 7.
Yeah, but there's a lot crammed into them, and I don't mean waffle. I mean, there's some good stuff. It's your opinion about the film, which is what I like. It's... Mm-hmm. What I isn't the same opinion that which I could get from looking at every website. You know, you could tell it's being tailored from somebody who's actually seen the film and has sat down and actually thought about what they want to say. So I like that, and I also like the fact that they're 5 minutes long. I could sit down and watch five of them in a row, and I haven't even used half an hour of my time. So
yeah, they're very. I try to keep them very easily digestible, so they're not they're not like super long. Because I know there are some people out there that like to, you know, have their videos go very long. You know, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And it's like, yeah, I could talk about a movie for that long, but like, why would I?
Exactly. Depends on the film.
True.
I like long videos, but depends. If it's like a critical analysis of a film I love, I'll sit down and watch that for 6 hours. That's how much I love film, where I could hear somebody detail every minutiae of a film. But if I just want to find out if somebody likes a film or not, I bite-sized 5 to 7 minutes does it for me.
Yes. So. Well, I agree. But I agree with you about that. Or if it's like really entertaining, like I do watch some of the more like popular, so to speak, movie reviewers. You know, the Chris Stuckmans and Flick Pick and all Schmoes Know and all them. And one of the things I do enjoy a lot, no matter what film it is Chris Stuckman's Hilariosities. I don't know if you've ever watched Hilariosity reviews. I watch them like, you know, 4 or 5 different times, like throughout, like just whenever, like just they're very entertaining, and they are usually on the longer side. They're usually between 9 to 20 minutes or so, but like they're just so entertaining. So I don't really care how long it is. I'll make time.
It's worth it. Stuckman is a man who gets mentioned on nearly every podcast episode I've done. So,
well, yeah, I mean, like he literally is like he's called me royalty in this community.
Well, you can be the heir apparent then, but
we'll see how that goes.
I just what you've just said, because I don't do YouTube videos for the fact that I would hate to see my face glaring back at me. But I never thought about like what you've just said is having to when you're doing your video, it's not just about the words. You have to obviously make sure you're looking at the screen, focusing. You're not blabbering your words. You've got that confidence. It's funny because somebody who doesn't do that like me, I don't think about it like that. So it's quite interesting to have it kind of. It's obvious now you say it, but to have it sort of laid out like that, well done to you guys for doing it, because it's not something I don't think I'd be very good at. So,
yeah, it's one of those things. It's tougher than it looks. Yeah. I mean, if you talk to anybody, I mean, anybody, even if they don't, especially if they don't do videos, like they just think you just talk into a camera for a couple of minutes. How hard is that to do? But in actuality, there's a lot that goes behind the camera that you don't really see when it comes to, you know, focusing on the camera, getting all your thoughts concise and in a proper structure, so it actually becomes like a decent, you know, summary of all your thoughts, and it's not just like you rambling off on tangents the whole time.
Yeah.
And also there's a lot of editing. You got to have good lighting. You got to, you know, the editing. Also with the editing, if you want to, you can add in clips or pictures and intros and outros, and you know, make sure you have good sound and make sure you're actually, you know, recording, so you're not. There's a lot that goes into it that people don't realize, I don't feel.
We've both fallen foul of the fact that we've forgotten to press record, which is something we mentioned pre-show.
Everyone's guilty of it. I mean, a week or two ago, because I had taken a brief kind of break because I did so many things and there wasn't really anything coming out because I was just setting up for Infinity War because I had done a bunch of videos. I had done Truth or Dare and Rampage back to back. And then
I
didn't want to
cough for that as well.
Yeah, that was part of like, okay, well, those were hard. That was pretty hard to digest. And then I didn't really care about, Super Troopers 2 and that new Amy Schumer film. I think it was I Feel Pretty.
Yeah.
Because I got invited to see both of those early, but it was like, do I really feel like going to see either of them? Like, nah, I'll just focus on Infinity War stuff.
An early screening says it all.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was just like, I'll just take the extended hiatus, you know, week and a half. It was like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then, because I was planning on doing the trailer reaction thing for Venom, because I had done one before, and I had posted it, and I, you know, being the dumb person I am, I had forgotten to put tags, like a lot of the tags on the video. So I was wondering why it wasn't, you know, it was a lot of, I mean, it got an okay amount of views for my channel size, but I was like, then I look at the tags part and there's like two things there after I pasted a bunch of them. I was like, okay, well, obviously I messed up. So this is why you don't take breaks.
No, as I said to you, I was about to record the other day, didn't press it because I'd taken 2 weeks off. More fool us. But I respect the fact that people can sit in front of a camera and do that, because if you're on a podcast or any kind of audio medium, I can ramble on now, and I do, and I sit there and I go off and I mince my words and everything. But I can just carry on. But when you're editing a video, you literally have to stop, go back, remember your words again, and re-record it. If it doesn't go well, and keep re-recording until you get it. So it is that sort of pursuit of perfection, which is probably quite tough.
Oh, it is. But one of the way I edit actually is I just do it like in sequence. I don't really go back and like throw something in later. Like I literally just, after I structure out all my thoughts or at least like bullet points of what I want to say, I'll just record it, you know, 100% all the way through that way. Whereas like if I mess up in like the second paragraph, then I'll just delete that, redo it, and then move on to the next sentence. It's like, so I don't feel like it's in the past now. I don't want to go back and edit it out and just add in another clip at the beginning or in the middle. I just do it in order, certain movies are shot in sequence. Whereas like I shoot my reviews in sequence, so I don't have to go back and edit things and put different things in.
Yeah, I guess it's almost cheating. I guess it would be similar to myself putting a review out there or writing a review and then leaving it for a day and then going back and thinking, actually, I want to change it based on whatever exterior thing I might have heard or seen. It's not quite, it's not your opinion there and then. So, I can see why you would do it that way in that kind of linear fashion. So we've mentioned about your reviews are concise and they're short. Is that what you look for in other people's reviews? And also, what makes yours particularly unique? What makes them Tyler's reviews?
I mean, I try to make mine, it's like, you know, put my own, like, you know, personality and spin on it and give my own kind of, obviously my own opinion on it, but just like, I don't know, just, I try to like at least make it entertaining and interesting and don't give too much away if it's like a spoiler-free review, because I try to avoid all spoilers, even if I don't put like spoiler-free or no spoilers in the chat, in the text box. Sometimes people still get mad at me for it, I don't know why, even though I don't... Because I've always joked about this. I joked about this a while on Twitter. I don't know if you saw, but when I did a review for Blockers, you know, the John Cena film, somebody actually commented on there and said that they're disliking the video because I didn't say if the kids in the movie had sex or not. You know, the main premise of the movie. I don't understand how you're gonna dislike my video because I didn't spoil it. But, okay.
I'm used to people giving it out for spoiling the film or just having a different opinion. Or I've never heard somebody have a go at somebody for not spoiling the film.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of the weirdest things. It's probably one of the weirdest things I've dealt with on YouTube so far, just because it's like, okay, well, most people are like, oh my God, you spoiled the movie for me. How dare you? You ruined it. And it's like, oh my God, you didn't spoil the movie for me. How dare you?
You didn't spoil it, you bastard.
Yeah.
I've never... That's a new one. Whoever that guy is, I'm not sure whether to tip my cap to him or just, you know, seek him out and ask him what the hell he was thinking, but it's a new one.
It's funny, because it's... he actually, ironically enough, he commented like a week or two ago, actually, because I replied to him. I was like, you know, if you had just asked, you know, I would have told you, but okay. but... And then he was, you know, just recently, he was like, you know, sorry, I didn't realize, you know, you had told me if I had asked, I'll give it a like now. So it's like, okay, thanks, I guess. But I mean, the damage has already been done. I've already, like, talked about it to, like, dozens of people and how ridiculous it was.
I feel like I should have put my Infinity War review up with every single spoiler in, just so I traverse anybody moaning at me for not telling everyone.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there are people that do those. Like, I try to not do them just because I don't, you know, just a time thing. But there are people out there that do spoiler-free reviews, and then they wait a day or two or a couple days, and then they do a spoiler-laden review.
Yeah, I don't, because I do it in the written medium, and I don't believe in giving spoilers even as part of any part of the review, because then you're more actually detailing the film, or you are breaking it down rather than actually telling people what you thought.
Speaking of the written medium, though, sorry to cut you off, but didn't Forbes or one of them, they released a whole article just telling you all the spoilers for Infinity War.
It was about, I don't know how many hours, five, six, seven hours ahead of the embargo, and they basically just thought, you know, we're going to, I didn't read it at the time because I wanted to go in spoiler free, who didn't? But I have since gone back and literally every single one is in there. And you do really think to yourself, why would you do that?
Yeah, it's a pretty jerk kind of thing to do.
They did say, you know, this has spoilers in it, but come on, I mean, drop it on the day of the film at least if you want to do a stupid thing. Not five.
You're just feeding internet trolls at that point.
And it did. It did. I managed to go in completely blind. I mean, we will get into Infinity War, I'm pretty sure, a bit later on, but I went into it blind, thankfully. I didn't know anything.
Me too, actually, because I saw it on Thursday.
Yeah, same here. I saw it on Thursday evening, and I had my own thoughts and speculations. I did a podcast with another top reviewer beforehand about it, but I managed to not know anything about it. But thanks to these people, these other journalists, we were lucky, mm-hmm. I think, that we didn't.
Yeah. Because it's crazy that they actually do that. It was one of those things, because I've learned from the past, just with any, you know, super popular movie, whether it be a Star Wars film or another popular superhero film, do not read the comments of literally anything. For literally anything. Because I remember a couple years ago. It was 2 years ago now, because it was Force Awakens. I was reading an article about sports, American football. And in the Facebook comments section, it was like, Han Solo dies in The Force Awakens. like, what does this have to do with sports?
I was... that's made me choke on the memory. I was watching... this is how effing sad I am. I was watching a video on YouTube of how to get your pastry to rise perfectly. And in the comment section, somebody had written, Han Solo was killed by his son, Kylo Ren, in a pastry rising video.
Nothing is safe.
No, it had about 50 views on it, but someone was so determined to let the pastry world know that, I guess Kylo Ren committed pastry side. I probably edit that bit out, but just another quick question before we crack in onto anything else. I've always wanted to know, the thumbnails that you put up for your videos, how long does it take you to get that perfect image?
I mean, I've gotten fairly decent at it now, because it's one of those things as you learn, as you do videos, as you get better and better at doing that. Because it's like, when I first started doing, you know, making the thumbnails that way, I mean, it probably took me like an hour, because I was just so bad at it. But now, I mean, it's just, you know, take a couple pictures here and there, throw them together, you know, Photoshop in this, Photoshop in that. It probably takes in the a whole process as a whole, maybe like 30 minutes, just because, like, I mean, it's just you're taking a photo, like a photo from the, like a photo, a movie related photo, a photo of myself I can take whenever and anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I can just throw them onto the computer and just Photoshop this and that, and then add in logos and all that. And I can have one done pretty quickly nowadays compared to like I said, like when I first started doing it, and it was like an hour.
Yeah. I just had an image or a foresight that you were standing in front of your webcam for sort of half an hour, desperately trying to get the right shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like which one of these screen grabs from my video is going to be the one that makes it as the thumbnail.
Yeah, which is the best angle for me.
Yeah. Cause, what should we call it? It's one of those progression kind of things, how my thumbnails have changed over time. Cause it's they were pretty garbage in the beginning. Then I finally, you know, as I've learned, I've gotten them better and better. And it's funny because when I started getting, I'm not as good as I am now, but like in the middle, like I was in like the middle ground area for thumbnails. I actually like pulled a George Lucas and went back and changed my thumbnails for a special edition
thumbnail.
Yeah, because there's a good amount of they're probably like a year, like 8 months, 9 months ago now, like stuff like 47 Meters Down and Unforgettable and Dunkirk and all them, where like I literally just like went back in and just put new thumbnails in and replaced the old one. Like I said, I felt like George Lucas going back and just changing it. Like I didn't change anything else. I just changed the thumbnail.
It's probably a better change than a lot of those special edition ones. Sorry, George. Yeah. The one that sticks in my head is the first trailer reaction for the first Venom. Your face says it all, I think. First Venom trailer, sorry. Your face says it all. It looks in
despair. I was very shocked to see some of the stuff. And then, I mean, let's be real here. I was a little underwhelmed. I mean,
yeah.
If I could go back, that would probably be my reaction more so for the second one, just because, like, you know, the second one actually showed Venom. But
yeah.
Still, I mean, it still was an okay trailer for what it was, although it really was kind of just like a couple minutes of Tom Hardy walking around in different clothes.
That's the problem, is it? He might as well just been called Hardy, because that first trailer gave me nothing to suggest that it wouldn't just be a film for Tom Hardy. The second one, good. I thought that was okay. I like where it went, and I thought Venom looked pretty damn good.
But, yeah. That was actually a really nice change that they actually made him look actually more like Venom compared to his appearance in Spider-Man 3.
Oh, yeah, they should have just given him the emo cut like they gave Peter. It would have looked better.
Yeah.
Just touching on this before we crack on again, I said that again now, but I spoke to the last person I had on the show. I asked him the same question, but you obviously seem very in tune with the comic world. But this is actually more about Venom. I'm slightly worried that the character of Venom, when he actually, you know, when he becomes Venom, isn't going to have any resemblance to Tom Hardy, and it could be anyone playing him. Whereas someone like Thanos, Josh Brolin was bubbling underneath him. I'm slightly worried that you'll have Tom Hardy playing Eddie Brock, and then, you know, when Venom becomes Venom, it will be unrecognisable as Tom Hardy, and it won't have any of his traits. I don't know if that's anything you've thought of, or...
I mean, I trust Tom Hardy as an actor. I mean, he's not really given a lot of like bad performances, but I can see what you mean as far as like it won't really feel like it's Tom Hardy in there. It could just be anybody, or unless they pan in like they do with Iron Man and War Machine and all them, where they just show their face inside the Iron Man suit, where they could show Tom Hardy in the Venom suit or whatever.
Somehow that would be awesome.
Yeah, and if, obviously he's going to have a lot of inner conflict, because I mean it's obviously
we've heard the voices.
Yeah, and I was actually surprised to find out that that's actually Tom Hardy doing the voice for the Venom, the deep voice in the Venom. Like, they actually just, you know, edited his voice in post. But, I mean, it's nice to see that he actually did the voice and actually made it sound menacing and all that. Because it reminded me of the voice from the 90s animated series with, was it Hank Azaria? I think Hank Azaria was the one who did the voice for Venom in that. Yeah, yeah, of all people, Hank Azaria.
Was that Homer Simpson?
Hank Azaria did Apu and Apu. Moe Szyslak and all them.
That's it. Oh, we must have mentioned that because we might get told off for mentioning Apu. But
edit it out. It's just Moe Szyslak.
That's right. now that you've mentioned that Tom Hardy does the voice, I'm slightly more. That literally, as soon as you said it, I peaked and thought, actually, maybe I have nothing to worry about. If he's going to be performing the voice, then you know that he's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's just like him. He's literally just battling with himself with the symbiote and for over control of the, you know, his body, basically. Because it showed, like, a lot of, like, a slapsticky kind of stuff going on where he's, you know, we only kill bad people.
Yeah. What about, also, symbiote? What did you think of that odd transition?
That bothered me. I actually mentioned that in my reaction. Like, symbiotes, like, I've been saying, it's been symbiotes in, like, every other media for the past 20 plus years, and then they call them symbiotes now. Jenny Slate called them symbiotes. I don't know if everyone will call them symbiotes, but
hopefully that was maybe a naive, the character maybe naive and just hasn't come across it before, and that's how she says it, and somebody corrects her, but they didn't show that.
Part of me hopes that they just, like, edit that out in post and they make her say symbiotes in the movie.
Yeah, they get Hank Azaria back just to say symbiote, and then it goes back to her voice again.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, they could easily do that if they really wanted to, if Sony really wanted to, because, I mean, there's so many, like, with the Marvel movies, I mean, they shot so much stuff for every Marvel movie, basically, that is only for the trailers, or it's just, and then they're, you know, get to the movie, and it's not even there, or it's, like, the same scene, but there's stuff tweaked in it.
Yeah, for like that small independent film they've just released, the trailer.
Yeah, a little indie film called Infinity War.
Yeah, it was like, the trailer was the opposite of the Rogue One trailer, whereas the Rogue One trailer was filmed, but was binned for a new film. Infinity War, they literally filmed these scenes just for the misdirect, which I think is... I know I've read some people are getting a bit antsy, oh, that's not fair. I think it's bloody brilliant. I don't understand the mentality of people who want to go into a film, any film, knowing what happens or knowing too much.
That's the thing with me is because, like, I try to avoid a lot of promotional material. Like, of course, I'll watch, like, whatever first trailer they put out or teaser trailer, and then maybe the second one. But, like, after that, like, I don't really care to watch anything else. Like, I don't care about TV spots or different featurettes. Like, I want to go into a movie with, like, at least amount of knowledge I know. But know that I'm what to expect, because like I don't want to know, like, oh yeah, there's that scene from that trailer. Although I know, because certain films these days, I mean, they just spoil everything in the trailers, and it's just a huge annoyance, that, in my opinion.
It is. It's usually horror films now where you can watch a trailer and you can think, like, that's the best parts of the film are in the trailer.
The actual only scary parts are in the trailer. Or the same issue with comedies that I have a lot of issues with the same comedies, like, oh, the funniest jokes are in the trailer, and then you get to the movie and, like, yeah, those scenes are still funny, but you know they're coming, and then nothing else is really as funny.
Yeah, exactly. And that really, that really winds me up. So I like the fact that the Russo brothers, or whoever was in charge of marketing, just basically threw everybody a line the wrong direction. Because people would have got to that Wakanda sequence and may have been waiting for that trailer, that trailer shot.
Yeah, I mean, I actually was looking for the trailer shot where it was just with them running all together in Wakanda. That's right, yeah. That was like the one shot from the trailers I was hoping to see, or maybe like they edited it and it had, like, you know, 20 more heroes in it. And no, there was no shot. The Hulk wasn't even in it. So
no, we literally, yeah. I mean, just for anybody listening who hadn't seen Infinity War, firstly, it's just broken the box office records. How have you not seen it?
But exactly.
There will be light spoilers here. We're not going to go into every single moment, but, you know, there might be a situation where we reference a scene without maybe going into it, like we have just done with the Wakanda scene. You know, the trailer shot wasn't in the film.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. That's not really like a huge spoiler because it's not even in it.
Yeah, I'm not going to come in here and say, oh, Stan Lee makes a cameo. That we know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So just be warned that we are going to go into the film potentially, and if we can't go anywhere without a spoiler, I will throw up my I'll scream like a bird and say spoiler warning. But for now, you know, don't get too worried. But by the time this goes out, Infinity War would have been out for a week or 10 days. So I'm not too worried about people.
I don't know who hasn't seen Infinity War by then.
Exactly. Oh, sod it. The film's been out. There's enough spoiler reviews out. When we do talk about it, it's spoiler heavy because it's been out for so long, and there's enough spoiler reviews out there now. So if we do talk about it, which I'm sure we will, feel free to just go into it. What was the last movie you saw, anyway?
Avengers Infinity War.
Was it? That wasn't even meant to be a setup, but
I know. That's why I was like, I was just gonna hold back from it because it's like I know you're talking about it, and I knew that was gonna come up eventually. And I was like, well, actually, that was the last film I saw.
I'm getting good at this setup without realizing. But no, in that case, everything I've just said is now in play. So if you haven't seen Infinity War, go and watch it. Come back and listen to this. there will be people who haven't seen it, and some people can't get to the cinema. I understand that, but
sure.
We are going to be talking Infinity War. So, what did you think about it?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I thought it was one of the probably the best Marvel film to date. I mean, there's so many good ones now. I mean, there's 19. Well, 20th is the Ant-Man and the Wasp in July.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's been 20 films now, which like I've said before, is just like a ridiculous output for any film studio to put out 20 films in 10 years.
In a decade, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's insane for any movie studio. You got to think between the Star Wars. You know, Star Wars has put out well, I guess 9-10 films if you count like the Clone Wars and Rogue One, all them. But I mean that's been since the 70s. Whereas the Marvel movies have put out 20 in 10 years.
Exactly. I think the only one that's come close to it, and it's not even really a franchise, it's just an anthology of books, was what Harry Potter put out 7 films in, what, about 6 years, 7 years, or something like that, but 8 years. But that's still nothing compared to this.
Yeah, well, that was a lot more time sensitive, just because like they were all like, you know, growing up, and they didn't want to like miss out on their chance because they
got
to film
Radcliffe
these.
Got acne, yeah.
Yeah, they got to film these films quick because I mean they're getting older. They're not going to get any younger, so they got to film them all when they're actually like the actual same age as the characters in the books. Otherwise, they're going to be like they're going to get to the last book in the series, and Harry's going to be like 30 years old
just
because
keep shaping Rupert Grint. Yeah.
But Avengers was great.
I echo that. I echo what you say about having so many films. And everybody I've spoken to has agreed, or they've told me, and I've agreed, that it's amazing what they've done to weave all of these films together in the way they have done, obviously culminating in this film that's just come out. But the way that everything's been so perfectly planned out, it would seem.
Yeah, they plan this stuff out way ahead of time.
Yeah, it makes the payoff of Infinity War even greater because, like a broken record, I say all the time, I'm a casual fan when it comes to the comic book movies. I get excited for the big films. I don't invest time outside of the film theatre, you know, checking out all the backstories. I do that with Star Wars because I'm a geek. But
yeah.
I like the films, but there was something about this particular one which got me. I was getting more and more excited as the weeks came on. And I was there opening night, and it blew my ass off. It was so good.
Yeah, it was great, especially opening night with a massive crowd of, you know, fellow people that enjoyed, you know, MCU and just comic book films in general. I mean, it was just the crowd was, you know, you went through all the emotions with the crowd around you, you know, the highs and the lows.
Yeah, and I'm so glad I can agree because, again, I said it before, from being from England, most of us just sit down and watch the film, and we might occasionally politely gasp, but with Infinity War, the place was packed, and every time something happened, people were shouting, hollering, gasping, screaming. It really made that experience something special because I'm not used to that, only simply because the audience around me don't usually get into it. That, though, bloody hell, it's like being at a sports event.
that's a good comparison, actually.
Yeah, it was. People were really getting into it. When, again, spoilers, remember I've mentioned it, when Red Skull revealed himself, the place where people almost
that
fell
was a
over.
Crazy one.
When Thanos and Tony Stark were fighting and he stabs him,
the walls almost fell down. Too. I was like, oh my god, this is it. This is how he dies.
And then obviously the end when the music cuts out and everybody just fades away, and of course Peter Parker does.
Yeah, Black Panther too.
That's it. When Peter says, you know, I don't feel so good. I was almost swept out on a sea of tears. So many people were up in arms, man.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing though. It was like, yeah, like some of that was getting like, oh my god, these people are disappearing. Because it was one of those things like I didn't know what was happening at first. I was like, okay, what's going on? Are they just teleporting? Are they dying? Or like, and then like they all just like started like turning into ash and. Then I was like, okay, some of these characters I could believe would be dead, you know, like Scarlet Witch and all them. And then it's
Vision.
Then it's like, Vision died twice. But
yeah, I didn't think of it like that. A poor sod, yeah.
I made that same joke when we were talking spoilers over on Zach Pope's spoiler discussion. We had a whole discussion about deaths. One of our big bullet points was deaths, and we were talking about all these deaths and all these. And I was like, Vision died twice, actually.
he probably had better days than that. He'd got blasted by Scarlet Witch's powers and basically obliterated. Then time was reversed. And he got the stone ripped out of his head, and he's basically got his forehead crushed.
Yeah, he's just an empty vessel now.
That aside, he probably had quite a good day, but then that happened.
But yeah, because that was the one of the more obvious deaths Vision in the movie. But a couple of the other ones were like I could accept, you know, if they were going to go away, like Scarlet Witch and all them. And then it's like, okay, Spider Man, and then Black Panther is like, okay, you're not going to just kill off all these people. Like, yeah, it's sad, but it's like. They're gonna come back.
I would love it if tomorrow or next week or something, Marvel came out and said that slate we released with Spider-Man 2 and Black Panther 2, it was all a ruse. They're not coming back. They're all really dead. To really watch everybody cry.
After all those years, the Marvel Studios fought to get Spider-Man back from Sony, and then they're just like, okay, you get one movie in the Avengers, and that's it.
And then you're Ash Boy. But I did when it was happening. I did kind of think to myself. I'm sure there's a sequel for this guy. I'm sure they were talking about Doctor Strange 2. So that kind of confused me somewhat. But then I realized. Well, yeah, I very quickly realized what was happening. That who was left and who was going, essentially, and how that was going to set up next year's fourth part.
Yeah, because most of the people that are left is the original Avengers and Nebula and Rocket Raccoon, and I guess Captain Marvel will come back. So.
Yeah. Well, that. Was probably the most important, crucial post-credits scene, other than the original one with Nick Fury. I think that one is.
Oh yeah, I was excited for that because I knew it was coming because I am like a comic book nerd at heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like this pager thing, and he's paging somebody, and I knew that, you know, obviously you just know that Captain Marvel's, you know, filming right now, so. And her movie's next year, and she's going to be in Avengers 4, most likely, just because her film's set in the 90s anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked like a pager. So I was like, okay, this like weird pager, wherever the heck she is. So I guess, you know, wherever the heck she is, she's off somewhere and then gets paged. I don't know why I don't know why Nick Fury decided to page her now. But I mean, I remember that was another, it was a minor gripe I had, just because it's like, why now do you page Captain Marvel? Like, why didn't you page Pager during the first Avengers or the second Avengers? Why are you paging her now? Like,
come on, Nick. It would have been slightly underwhelming if he'd actually just paging the Wasp or something. But
but it's just like there's, that's just one of those things that I'm curious about. Like, why she didn't come back for either the other two Avengers films when the, you know, Chitauri invasion during the first one, or the Sokovia stuff and with Ultron and Age of Ultron. So it's like those are both pretty catastrophic events. But now,
but now we just decided. Well, I guess the real reason, I guess, is the same thing that any franchise hits. Star Wars has had the same, where eventually you have to go back and introduce new characters, and then people will always ask, well, hold on, where were they when this happened? Where were they? And I guess you have to walk that fine line. I trust them to answer
it. They'll probably have to write it in. They'll probably write it in the Captain Marvel movie why she decided to just come back now.
Yeah, well, I trust that they'll answer that, and it'll be something where everybody universally agrees with it, because at the minute it seems like they can't do any wrong.
No, I mean, all their movies have number one and been box office successes.
Yeah, and of course, they introduced Sweet Rabbit in the film as well, which has made my year. Thorin's raccoon, Rocket. Sorry. So, just on that film, what would you say was a standout moment, or if you could whittle it down to one or two for you?
I mean,
obviously, you're a big fan of these films.
I mean, just Thanos in general. Just most of the final battle at Wakanda was pretty good. I mean, when Thor comes back with teenage Groot and Rocket, that was pretty crazy because, you know, he teleports back with the Bifrost because now he can teleport wherever he wants now. And he's like, you know, bring me Thanos.
That's right. Yeah. That's just how he said it as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the more crazy, like, action scene stuff. I like some of the jokes. Doctor Strange, I'm biased towards Doctor Strange. I say that pretty much everything because I rank Doctor Strange a little bit higher than some people do. Not like super high, like it's not like number, you know, it's not in the top five or anything, but I mean, I rank it higher than. Yeah, it's like I don't think it's top five, but like it's at least like top 10. But like some people have it a lot lower than that, or they don't like it as much. But like I'm biased because I'm a huge Benedict Cumberbatch fan.
Yep.
But he had a huge, you know, huge amount of cool moments in this for his character to shine. Obviously, he's gotten a lot more super powerful since his appearance in his own film, because he's doing crazy magic stuff in this one now compared to his stuff in his own film.
Did you think at the end, because I did, when just when all seemed lost, Thor's just teleporting himself in, he stabs Thanos with Stormbreaker. Did you think, well, I guess, but I say that you know the story better than I do. So I guess for me, the first thing I thought was, come on, no, don't kill him that way. But as a comic book, as a comic book fan like yourself, did you know? I'm guessing you knew that was going to lead to the snap.
Well, I figured that he wasn't going to die from that. But I mean, I didn't know if he was going to actually snap and do all that stuff, because he had all the stones. I figured he was going to do something with the stones, or maybe do something with the stones and kill Thor, because he was like right up close with him. But I didn't know he was actually going to snap and do the teleporting thing and kill half the population. But it was either that, or like, oh my god, are they really going to just kill Thanos at the end of this movie after the buildup? You have 6+ years of films. You're going to just, Thor's just going to come in after all that and just like jam Stormbreaker into him and end him like that?
That's what I thought was going to happen, and I immediately thought, this is going to spoil everything for me if they off him, because I was really enjoying Thanos.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. Also, just a quick nitpick as well. Why did, at the beginning of the film, it made apparent that Thanos and, as we all knew, the Black Order just stormed the Asgardian ship, slaughtered everybody, obviously apart from Thor and, we're assuming, Valkyrie and hopefully Kork. But
yeah,
Heimdall was blasted Hulk back to Earth. Thanos is just crushed Loki's windpipe. Why didn't he just kill Thor there and then? I know the obvious answer is story, but is that not a slight hole? Because that's the first thing I thought when I saw it was, why is he just letting him go?
I guess just because like he had what he wanted, and he wasn't fun to play with anymore, and so he just dipped. He got his stone and then he left. He was all he cared about was the stones.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because he got the stone from Loki, and then Loki tried to kill him, and then he killed him, and then they blew up everything and left.
And then he bitched the Hulk as well.
Because, I mean, I guess he kind of thought he killed Thor, because he blew up everything. And
I suppose his ship blew up, didn't it? Yeah,
because he was just floating in space when the Guardians came.
Yeah, and then the great chemistry between him and Chris Pratt, and I really enjoyed that.
Well, that's the thing with that scene, is I'm still wondering if, Loki died, but, is he dead? Like, I mean, his body's just floating in space somewhere.
He looked pretty limp, but
yeah, I was gonna say he's died twice before, though.
That's so true.
Like, you never know with Loki, honestly.
I tend to agree with the popular opinion that everybody, I think what's the term is pre-snap. I think everybody pre-snap is gone. I think Loki's gone. I think Heimdall's definitely gone. I hope Gamora's gone. I hope, in the sense that the weight that it adds to the story, but then what's Guardians 3 going to be? How are they going to deal with that? The Black Order, I think they're gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ebony Maw's out there floating in space too.
Yeah, I guess he looked pretty, again, he looked a bit frozen in it, but this is a comic book film. I guess you can never say never.
Well, yeah, it's one of those unwritten rules. Like, if you don't see the body, they're not officially dead.
That would include floating into ash, I suppose, as well. You never see a definitive body.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like so many of these films, well, it's like that in comic books, too. Like, comic books, I mean, everybody pretty much in comic books has died at least a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Captain America, Iron Man, all them. They've all died dozens of times. They just write it and just undo it. So it's just that's the thing with these movies. That's one of the main issues everyone's had with the MCU, is that there's stakes, but there's no stakes as far as deaths. Cause I mean, the only real deaths we had up until this point was like, what, Coulson died and then he didn't.
Quicksilver.
And then Quicksilver died and he stayed dead. Everybody else like died and then didn't die. And then, like, Loki died twice, and so it's like there really are no like major deaths in any of the movies, because I figured Hawkeye was going to die in Age of Ultron, and then Quicksilver comes in and swoops him out of the way.
Yeah, I hope that. Well, I hope. I think in Avengers 4, I'm hoping there will be some permanent ends to some of the characters, just so it does give that, just so it kind of dispels some of that talk about not having any stakes, because whilst the ending of Infinity War is, it is shocking to see all of these heroes and favourites die, knowing that they're coming back does take away some of that. Well, some of them are coming back, does take away some of the shock value. So I am kind of hoping that in Avengers 4, you know, I'm pretty sure Stark's going to go, but I thought he's going to go in this film.
Me too.
And a few others, but not because I want to see them dead, but I think the story calls for it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously clear that they're going to try and shift over, like, the Avengers team and, you know, cycle through, probably keep a couple of the old ones and bring in new faces, because, like, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man, I mean, they're kind of, like, becoming, like, the new age of the MCU.
Yeah, and if they just keep adding more and more heroes to the roster, by the time the next Infinity War top event comes, there will literally be about 70 heroes, so they have to kind of make way.
And they can always bring them back, obviously, as long as they're not killed off. Like, Captain America can just go do, like, whatever.
And freeze him.
Yeah, they can just do what they did with Bucky and Wakanda at the end of Civil War.
Yeah, well, we only have less than a year now, I think, literally. I'm sure there are some people out there who could tell me exactly how many days, but remember, guys, there are still people who think Han Solo isn't dead, even though we saw him get stabbed and Starkiller blew up.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, not only did he get stabbed, but the actual planet exploded, so...
And became a star. I think
it's almost... It's almost as if Harrison Ford was like, make sure my death is so permanent that there is no way you can bring me back.
Yeah. Oh, Harrison. Infinity War talk is done, guys. So if you haven't seen the film, you don't need to, because we've just told you everything that's happened.
Yeah, I've talked about Infinity War, like, so much over the last month. So,
man, I bet you have.
So it's always good to talk about, but it's also good to move on as well.
Yeah, I've still got one more. I'm going to plug it now, a Infinity War spoiler podcast to come after the recap I did before. So this is the first time I've actually been able to speak about it openly on a cast. So I'm quite pleased.
Nice.
About that.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I got that out there for you then.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
I say, because I know how hard it is, like, you know, not talking about spoilers with people, because, I mean, that's what I did, you know, when I made my reviews. Like, I mean, I could only say so much without going into spoilers, and then I just, like, that's why I made the disclaimer in my spoiler-free Infinity War video. Like, by the way, if you really want to talk spoilers and hear about spoilers and all that, then, you know, plug the thing I'm doing with Zach and Ryan and Tom and John, and, well, Cody was going to be there, but he goes sick. So it's like, if you want to talk spoilers...
Sick or disintegrated.
Well, I think it was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know specifically, but Zach said he was really sick, and I'm sure he was. I mean, I don't know why he would purposefully miss out on something like that, because it was pretty awesome.
He's probably working out so hard. He's probably just completely knackered his immune system.
Yeah, he's just too out of it right now. He needed to recover.
Yeah,
we'll probably do more stuff in the future with that group anyways. We haven't talked about, like, the next thing we're gonna do. Like, we might keep the group, some of the group together, and talk about some upcoming release. We haven't decided yet though.
It's your own Avengers reviewers assemble.
Yeah, we kind of did assemble our own team, so to speak, because, like, with Ryan and I did two things with Ryan three things actually, because the one hasn't come out yet. So I'm literally just, you know, all over the place.
Again, you want to keep busy. It's the best thing to do, and
that's what I'm doing.
And it's never going to run out of movies. So,
luckily,
you're quite safe there. But if every movie in the world was obliterated with the snap of Thanos' fingers, that is a spoiler. But he did say to you, you can have one movie, but the rest are going. What movie are you saving from Thanos' wrath, and why?
I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, probably. I mean, although the person himself has been kind of more annoying in recent, you know, news-related outlets, just like over the last couple of months, more so recently. But I really like. I mean, Terminator 2 is Judgment Day is one of my favorite films.
Yes.
So, like, I mean, it's one of my favorite, not just in the Terminator franchise, but just, like, in general. Just, like, I like the action and the acting in it, even with, you know, T-1000 is really awesome. The special effects in that hold up still to this day, even though it came out in 1991, I believe.
No, yep.
Yeah, So, like, I mean, that's just one of those movies that I can watch a bunch of times, even with, you know, it doesn't get old for me. Although, like I said, you know, James Cameron's been a little more annoying in recent months, just being, like, a bitter person about, like, any type of success for anything.
James Cameron is acting like an absolute tit.
Oh, yeah. You said it, so I didn't have to say it. I was trying to be politically correct about it. But
don't,
like,
don't care how successful he is or how good his movies have been, because I love a lot of his films.
Me too.
He is just coming across as just a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
If you don't like the sci-fi that's out there, give us that, rather than give us four crappy Avatar sequels.
Yeah, that's
come
the
out,
thing.
Come up with something. If you like Avatar, good for you. That's fine. Come up with something new and fresh, because if anyone can do it, surely James Cameron can come up with something new and that can revitalize this genre, which he thinks is obviously failing, which it isn't.
Yeah, because he feels like he's hoping for the Avengers fatigue and whatnot, right?
And it's just gone to be the biggest opening weekend ever, and has a... I still think it's going to fall at 1.8, 1.9 billion, but it has a shot of taking out at least Titanic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's worried about one of his movies or his precious Avatar, you know, getting unthroned, so to speak.
Yeah, it still baffles me how that is. I know the gimmick is what sold it. It was the 3D.
Oh, yeah, the 3D. And I mean, it was ahead of its time 10 years ago, just with the special effects and the mocap and all that. So I could see why people appreciate it. I mean, to be honest, I have not seen that movie probably since it came out.
Exactly.
Like 10 years ago. And I don't think a lot of people have either. I don't know any diehard Avatar fans out there, but I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there that actually is like, yeah, I love Avatar. I can't wait for Avatar 2, 3, and 4. But I mean,
we'll just refer to that person as Jay Cameron.
yeah.
Every Halloween, I go online and I maybe see like one cosplayer or something dressed up as one of the guys around. I mean, I don't know the characters' names from Avatar, so
I don't. I know the people that are in them. That's part of the reason why I feel like maybe Gamora's death will stick, because she's got four Avatar films to do.
Yeah. I just don't understand where it's come, because obviously you had the comments about Wonder Woman, which...
Yeah, that too. It was a step back or whatever.
Yeah, because he compared it to Linda Hamilton, even though they're both doing the same thing. They're both sort of, you know, warrior females, but in different types of sci-fi. But, as I know, there's been so much good sci-fi, not even Star Wars or superhero related. I mean, like actual sort of bona fide sci-fi in the last year or so.
I
kind of wonder where he's been. He must have been so entrenched in trying to get a release date for Avatar, and apparently producing the new Terminator film, which I can imagine he's just going to point and nod at a few things.
Yeah, the second or third reboot now in the Terminator franchise, right?
Well, that's that one as well. He's asking for originality, but he's given four Avatar, and he's producing a bloody Terminator reboot.
I mean, yeah, I actually, funny you mentioned that, I said that when I was talking to another fellow friend, YouTuber of mine, Ramascreen. He was talking about movie news, and I was talking to him about it, and he was talking about the James Cameron stuff and the originality and all that, and I was like, this has come from the dude who's coming back to the Terminator franchise.
I mean, exactly. I mean, I just don't understand why... I'm always speechless, because I just don't understand where it's coming. I'm trying to rationalise in my head where he's coming from. Now, I can understand him saying that the big blockbusters are taking opportunities away from small filmmakers, but at the same time, that's always been there. Avatar was a big blockbuster. Titanic was a big blockbuster. The Aliens film was a big blockbuster. I mean, he's only ever been involved in films that are big. I mean, he's known for big blockbuster films. So, I don't really know what he's trying to say.
Well, the thing is like, it's one of those things where it's like, people complain that Hollywood, you know, they don't want original films, but like, when they give you original films, you don't see them. So, like,
exactly. I mean, on that note, I mentioned it on a conversation before. Annihilation was, it came out on the UK and worldwide, other than the United States, came out on Netflix.
Yeah. I was like, I got to see it early at a screening, and it was like, I mean, the people was a mixed. It was a mixed reaction from the crowd. I really enjoyed it. It's still one of my favorites of the year. But like, I mean, the way that they handled that whole release, and they thought it was too smart and all that, and I don't think it did overall well at the box office due to the fact that it only came out in America, and I think it came out in some. I think Canada too. It came out
in America.
Yeah, I think it came out in like America, Canada, and China. I could be wrong, But everywhere else, it came out on Netflix, and it was like, and it was just a really weird circumstances like that, and the Cloverfield Paradox was as well. They just were like, nah, we're gonna just drop that on Netflix.
I can see why they dropped that on Netflix, because it's
That was okay. I thought it was okay.
First half of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like it didn't really feel like a Cloverfield movie, and then like it just seemed like a really standard sci-fi flick, and then they threw in some Cloverfield here and there, and then the monster came up at the end. I was like, okay, well, that made no sense, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. They literally just wrote Cloverfield, like scrawled it on part of the ship, and then that monster came out of nowhere, and that's when I just thought that was awful.
But yeah, well, that's the thing with those Cloverfield movies. I like Cloverfield as like a universe, but like almost all of the Cloverfield films, they're all different films, and they just rework the script, and they just become Cloverfield films.
Yeah,
in that.
Exactly. I would love to have seen that film, the Cloverfield, God Particle film. I'd have loved to have just seen that without any of the silliness that they do. Because the first half of the film, when they're on the ship and the Earth's gone, they're trying to work out what's happening. That was actually, I quite really enjoyed that. They really built up a bit of mystery there.
And all the stuff, and all the crazy stuff that happens to the people on board with like the eye, like the guy's eye goes all wonky and the dude it has a bunch of worms in him, and the guy
in the wall.
Yeah, the guy loses his arm in the wall and it crawls towards him and stuff.
It started to build up to something which could be pretty, pretty good, but then I think it fell apart quite quickly after that. But
yeah, I mean, it got not as good as it went on. And then that's the thing is, like, I liked 10 Cloverfield Lane though, but it's just like they need to just stick to making these movies like about Cloverfield stuff and stop just taking scripts and just doctoring them up a little bit here and there and then throwing it out as a Cloverfield film. Cause speaking of those, they just changed their mind about that Overlord film that's supposed to come out in October. They were like, for months it was like, this is supposed to be a Cloverfield film. And then like a couple days they're like, actually, nope, it's not going to be a Cloverfield film anymore.
Apparently they're going to release an actual sequel to the first Cloverfield film. Apparently they're going to do an actual continuation of the show. I just realised we're actually playing into James Cameron's hands by moaning that the sci-fi goes into Netflix and that Cloverfield was crap. So we're actually agreeing with him. We're not agreeing with him. There is plenty of good sci-fi out there.
Well, yeah, like we just said, Annihilation
is a good film.
Annihilation, Ex Machina, same guy, Alex Garland.
Yeah, Alex Garland. Yeah, there's plenty of good stuff out there. It's just unless you can enlighten me on what he's trying to actually say, then I don't really know where he's going with that.
I think he's just grumpy.
Yeah. I think he's just, he needs to go and have a nap, I think.
You say he's rich, and pretty much all of his movies are ridiculously successful. I mean, he's one of the highest grossing directors of all time, and he hasn't even put out a film in 10 years.
That's true. He should really get off his ass and start doing something. So
yeah, because that's the thing. Because like all these other directors, when you look at like the top 10 highest grossing directors, they're all like active directors. Like, you know, Christopher Nolan, Steven Spielberg. They're all, you know, they're still active. They're all putting out movies every couple of years, or maybe even one a year. Hell, Spielberg put out two.
Yeah, but, I mean, Ready Player One's another sci-fi film that came out this year.
Yeah,
obviously based on an adaptation, but still, it's a big bold sci-fi film.
Yeah, and that did well at the box office overall. I mean, last time I checked, it was like 500 million. It passed 500 million.
Whether you like the film or not, Pacific Rim Uprising is another sci-fi type film.
Yeah, that was a okay one. I like that. I like that more than most people, but like that doesn't mean I liked it really.
Yeah, let's put that in there somewhere. But I like John Boyega in it, and I like
Beats
in it. But there is plenty of good sci-fi out there, so I could go on for that for a long time, but I just like to think that James Cameron had woken up, poured some whiskey on his cornflakes by mistake, and then stupidly did an interview because he's starting to come across as a bit grouchy.
Yeah, but the thing is with him though is, you know, if Avatar 2 doesn't do well, he's going to just go and complain about that too.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that, I would have gotten away with it. If it wasn't for those bloody superheroes, he'll be saying.
Yeah, he'll blame everything but his film and it taking over a decade to, you know, be made.
Exactly. I mean, Incredibles 2 is going to take a decade. It's taken a decade, but the director of that hasn't come out whining about how he hopes the DreamWorks films or the other studios fail.
Yeah, he wants them all out to fail and wants my movies to be prosperous.
I know, but to give the guy some credit, Terminator 2 was a bloody good film.
Yeah, it's probably my favourite film he's actually ever done.
Like you said, the T-1000, the effects, yeah, they still hold up to this day. I like the first Terminator, but this is one of those sequels which does advance the story and actually outdoes it.
Yeah, it's one of those very rare times where the sequel is actually far superior than the original.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it won a few Oscars as well. So, for an action sci-fi film, it certainly won best visual effects, I know that. So.
Yeah, I think it won 4 of them, actually.
Well, there you go. It's... again, maybe I'm being naive, but I couldn't imagine a film like Terminator winning 4. I know Mad Max Fury Road did quite well, actually, but
no, I couldn't see it very often. I don't predict that the new Terminator, whatever they end up calling it, I don't think it'll be nominated for any type of Oscars.
Terminator by James Cameron, it'll just be called.
Yeah, I mean, they already made it weird with Terminator Genesis or whatever you want
to call it. Yeah, and he liked that, apparently, so.
Yeah, I guess he's the only one.
Terminator, please see this by James Cameron. So, enough of James Cameron because he's annoying me.
That's fair.
Yeah, we're talking about good films by... He is a good director. What's the worst film we've ever reviewed?
Ooh, I mean, that's a tough one. It's like, because there's like a list in my head that comes to mind, but I don't know which one would be the worst. It would probably be like... a 3 or 4 way tie between The Mummy, the newest one with Tom Cruise. That one was pretty bad. A Wrinkle in Time was really awful too.
I didn't like that.
That was horrible. Like that was just awful. Like it looked nice, but everything else
with
the
spoon turned into a flying lettuce leaf.
I actually said like something very similar to that when I in my review for it. Like she just randomly turned into a giant piece of lettuce.
Yeah. That's when I started to question my sanity.
Yeah, and they just like that whole scene had nothing to do with anything. That whole part where they're running around made no sense to me.
I know. So The Mummy, A Wrinkle in Time. Please carry on because it's quite fun.
I'm trying to think. The only other ones I can think of is Unforgettable, which is like a really horrible I guess it's like a Crazy X kind of movie, Crazy Psycho X movie with Katherine Heigl and Rosario Dawson.
And it's the most forgettable movie I saw.
It was terrible. It was fun. It's funny I bring that up though, because that was actually on one of the movie channels I have on my TV. I think it was HBO or one of them. It's on cable now. I was flipping through the channels and it came on TV and I was like, I sat down and watched like, just because I was bored, like watched like 5-10 minutes of it. It's like, yeah, this is still horrible. And I just,
lettuce leaf over this crap.
And, another one was probably The Open House, the Netflix film with, I forget the guy's name, but he was the guy from 13 Reasons Why and, Don't Breathe.
I know who you mean. I can't think of his name.
Dylan Minnette, I think is his name.
Dylan Minnette, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that was horrible. That was like the worst horror film ever.
I don't usually let public opinion sway me, but every single person I've seen review or rate this film has given it like 1/2 star, 1 star out of 5 or 10.
And it's awful. It's literally the worst thing.
Yeah, even though I haven't actually got to get off of my fat ass and watch it, because it's on Netflix. I still can't be bothered to sit through it because I've heard so much about it.
It's like an hour and it's like 90 minutes of the guy like, it's literally like 90 minutes of a guy just running. The kid in the movie is a sprinter or whatever, but like, it's literally just like 90 minutes of like open house tours with like creepy guy stalking around the house and just like, you know, stupid stuff. And like, you don't even see the killer. The killer doesn't really like do a whole lot in the movie. Like, you never see his face and you don't know why he's doing it. And like, there are no motivations for why he's doing what he's doing. It's just like he shows up to their open house and decides to just have some fun with them, and it's not even funny. It's not fun. It's not scary. It's just awful. I think it has like a 3 point something on IMDb.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know if they. I don't think they do like Metacritic. I don't think they did a Metacritic score or whatnot for them. I know some Netflix films have Metacritic scores, but. I know it has like a three something on IMDb because I remember I looked at it fairly recently because I was thinking about which ones were the worst and I was like, yeah, that was probably one of the worst ones, that Wrinkle in Time, The Mummy, and Unforgettable.
I know it's the wrong attitude. I will sit down and watch The Open House one day, but I find myself thinking, do I want to watch a film where I might enjoy it, or do I want to watch a film which I've got morbidly interested in because I've heard how bad it is?
Yeah,
I always pick the others.
And it's not one of those movies that's like so bad it's good. Like, it's just bad.
It's just abomination. I noticed also you gave Cult of Chucky a bad review. I only mentioned that because I watched it today, your review, and I found myself thanking the Lord that you also thought it was awful.
Yeah, that was a bad one. I had forgotten about that. That was one I pushed back deep down inside of my brain, just forget about, because that was a bad one too. Because it was just like, it was obviously very low budget, because it was like, I mean, the movie was straight to DVD video on demand. But like, even then, I mean, whatchamacallit, was it Curse of Chucky? Curse of Chucky was the same way, and that was like 10 times better than this.
Yeah. It's always good to see Brad Dourif back in any kind of form.
Yeah, but, that's like the only thing that's like the redeeming quality of these films, is the fact that he keeps coming back as Chucky.
Yep, Chucky's cool, but it's time to put the doll back in the box now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were going to make another one or two with the way they ended Cult of Chucky. They're
definitely going to make another one, yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, like, I mean, there's not, like, box office numbers to go by if they'll make one or not. They kind of just, like, if they get the funding, they'll make it, because it's a video on demand, straight to DVD kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's always people who want to complete their collection, so the people are going to buy it.
Yeah, because I'm the same way, because I have a good-sized Blu-ray collection, but I collect Steelbooks versions of films.
Nice.
And well, that's the thing, is they always come out with whenever
expensive.
Yeah, it is, but whenever a new film in a franchise comes out, it's like, you know, they'll either give you the option to buy that movie single, like the single movie, or you can buy the collection, where it's like with Cult of Chucky or whatever, it was like, you can buy Cult of Chucky, or you can buy this set that has like the five films, six films, I forget how many there are in the film. I think there's like five or six. But, yeah, you could buy the complete set, and it's not like, yeah, it's complete for now, but like, it's not going to be complete in like a year or two. Then you're just going to have to buy the next set that has that one in it.
Exactly. And then they'll say, yeah, buy the single one or buy all seven for even more money than you've just spent buying the sixth.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing. Cause I usually don't buy like sets like that unless like I know like they're pretty for sure done. Cause I think the only films I have in my collection that are like a set like that is I have all of the Harry Potters on Steelbook, which like I know that those are done as far as like Harry Potter and
those
stuff,
ones,
you know. Yeah, those books are done. And I have Fantastic Beasts as well, but I mean that's Fantastic Beasts. But yeah. That
Lord of the Rings or something, it's not.
Yeah, those are pretty much done too. Although they're gonna make that Amazon, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the first episode being better than all of the three Hobbit films, pretty much, so.
Well, I mean, it should be. I mean, wasn't it like a $1 billion budget or something like that? Like, it's like the most expensive TV show of all time.
I just don't know. Yeah, I've heard it's more than that. It's gonna out Game of Thrones somehow, but it's got to be as good as that, so.
Yeah.
So it's all well and good throwing money. Well, it's all well and good throwing the money, but they've got to have a good story. They've got to have whoever's playing whatever the lead roles are. They've got to be people you can cling on to, so...
Yeah.
I'm interested, because apparently it's set between... I guess it would be between Battle of the Five... Oh, it's set before Fellowship of the Ring, I know that. I don't know whereabouts it's going to be set, but... I know it's
Yeah,
set
I haven't,
before
I haven't
that.
Followed too much of the info about it. I just heard that they spent an outrageous amount of money to get the rights to do it, and then they're going to spend a shit ton of money to actually do it.
Ugh. If they've got the money, good for them. Also, yeah, Peter Jackson's going to be... like a sort of a producing it in some sense, so I know he gets it. He's become the new George Lucas in the sense that people attack him for the Hobbit trilogy, which wasn't that bad, but I'm glad that he's still kind of around, because you know he gave us those six films and the Lord of the Rings films. I love those films so much, and it's all because of Peter Jackson, so I'm glad he's kind of still around.
I think the prequels would have been a lot better if they were actually done by Guillermo del Toro like they were supposed to.
Yeah.
That's because he's one of my favorite directors.
If he'd done, because of what, the two films they were going to do with just him, they would have been, I can only imagine what they would have been.
I know.
But we'll never know. But he's still, some of his influence was on an unexpected journey, but
true.
Not much, yeah. A fun question, I always preface this by saying I like this question. Sometimes I get some fun responses, sometimes I get some very cool, serious responses. But sometimes
fun.
I get some people just can't answer it because there's nobody out there like them. If they were making a chart in the life of a YouTube star, so they were going to have Tyler Calvert versus the world, who's playing you in that film?
Oh, I mean, that'd be a tough one just to like cast as like someone my age, really. But I mean, whenever I think of like someone that I think could like would be cool to portray me in some type of like media, I've always thought, he's pretty well known now because he's in like every popular franchise. But Benicio del Toro.
Yes.
I really like Benicio del Toro, and because he has a wide range, because he's funny. He can be funny. He can be serious. He can do all the spectrums that you want, and just like. If they were going to play an older me, because he's like, I think, 50-something now. I think he's in his 50s now.
50, 51 or something, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, he would have to obviously play, like, an older version of me, or they would have to, like, de-age him through, like, some type of process. But, like, that's probably the one I've always thought of is, like, because he's one of the actors I like a lot that, like, that's the thing is, like, he's in a lot of well-known movies and, like, in predominant roles, but, like, he's not, like, A-list star. Everybody acts like he's an A-list star or anything like that. He's not like on the level of like a Chris Pratt or a Chris Hemsworth kind of thing. Like, but he's in a lot of very well-known movies. I mean, he's in the MCU and the Star Wars franchise, and he's in the Sicario films.
Yeah, and he's an Oscar winner as well.
Exactly. So like he is respected.
Yeah, so you couldn't really pick a better. I think he's a fantastic actor. I love the fact that like you said, he can be serious. He can be funny. Sorry. But at the same time, he can sort of let his face drop and suddenly he can just look very menacing, like he would tear your face off just for looking at him.
Yeah, so that's always the one I go to as far as, like, if I had to pick someone.
Would you tear somebody's face off for looking at you the wrong way, like Del Toro might?
I mean, it's never crossed my mind, but I mean, anything's possible, I suppose.
You heard it here first. Do not annoy this man because he will rip you limb from limb.
Yeah. Yeah, if you leave an annoying comment or spam on my videos, I'm coming to rip your face off.
Yeah, if you chastise him for not spoiling the film, he will come for you.
Yeah,
he has a specific set of skills, and he will
God forbid. Yeah, Keanu Reeves would be a cool one too, and Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson would be funny too.
Liam Neeson's just an old Irish man who fights everyone. It's fantastic. So
that's literally like his. You literally just described like 90% of the movies he does now. He's just an Irishman fighting people.
The Commuter was made just for him to fight somebody with a guitar. That was all it was there for.
That was my favorite scene in that movie.
Yes,
by the way.
It was. That's the one I remember the most. But I did think to myself, this is when he's starting to jump the shark. Now he's beating someone. He's attacking someone with a guitar. Because he happened to bump into a musician.
He throws him out the window.
That's right. I did quite like the Commuter, though. It was a bit of fun.
It was a bit of dumb fun. Yes. For what it was fine. But it's not like I don't expect like an Oscar winning like drama from Liam Neeson these days.
I'd love it if they gave it like best original screenplay or something, even though it's the most unoriginal thing.
Yeah, give it some type of nomination.
Yeah, you get films like that sometimes, which can be. I mentioned it about Rampage. It's a bloody awful film, but I had fun watching it. Whereas something like Transformers: The Last Night is a bloody awful film, but I hated every minute of watching it because it just wasn't fun.
That was painful to watch for me, actually. Like physically and emotionally, I was like in pain watching that movie because I remember. Because I chose not to go see it in theaters. Actually, speaking of the person again, Fraser Jubb, I remember talking to him about it when it came out on DVD. Because I got, as I was saying earlier, leads back into what I was saying about the collections where I only buy the collection if I know this franchise is over.
Yeah.
Because I got the Transformers one, because I'm pretty sure the last night's the last one, because that was some garbage.
That was horrid. The first Transformers was okay. I just felt depressed wondering how much they paid Sir Anthony Hopkins to feature in that.
Yeah, and then he died.
Yeah.
And like the dumbest way, mind you.
I wonder if he asked for that because he seems
just
to be
get me out of here.
Yeah, he knew what was coming. It's probably his idea to have medieval knights and Merlin and all that crap in the first place.
That was ridiculous.
I hated every second of it.
The dragon
was cool. I
hate
you, Michael Bay, for that.
The dragon was cool, but I mean, everything else and the fact that Optimus Prime is only in the movie for like 5 seconds.
That's Optimus Prime was my hero growing up when I was a kid. I used to watch all the cartoons and I loved Optimus Prime, and they just made him out to be a complete arse in these new films. Not my Optimus Prime.
It was cool though that they, I mean, well, going off of just the trailers, they were like, oh, cool, Optimus Prime's gonna be the villain. And then, like, yeah, he's kind of the villain, but he's only in the movie for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, he's a villain for that 10 seconds and then gets turned back again. So, in the least surprising twist of cinematic history.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg Mark Wahlberg saves the day.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, for Christ's sake.
Marky Mark.
Yeah, go. He's another story for another day. So, you've mentioned a lot of the YouTube community out there, and like we've mentioned, it does seem like quite a cool community to be part of. So, what kind of words or sage words of advice could you give anyone who's looking to get into the YouTube arena, or even just reviewing in general?
Just find your own way as far as like, you know, make your content in the style that, you know, is just unique to yourself, really. I mean, as long as you make your own stuff, you know, unique to yourself. I mean, obviously more people will be drawn to you just because of your, I guess, uniqueness in a way. Like you gotta like find your niche, but like in a way, cause it's like, I mean, there's only so much niche in that audience cause you're all talking about films, but like, do it in your own way, you know, do your own things. Or, well, you don't only have to do films, because I mean, I do other stuff besides films as well, like just branching out. Because I do the movie reviews, and then I also do like trailer reactions here and there, which are movie related, but I also do like unboxings and stuff like that. I haven't been doing as many of those lately just because all the boxes that I had been doing them for were garbage. And I need, they were garbage. Well, it was a mixture of they were garbage and, I canceled all of them because I wanted to save up a bunch of money because I went to two conventions, over the last two. Well, actually, I did both back to back weeks. It was the end of March, beginning of April, two back to back conventions. One was Doctor Who related and one was just because, in DC, there's a huge convention called Awesome Con where a bunch of people are there.
Yes, I've heard of, yeah.
Yeah, because that's here this year. Speaking of, you're talking about Pacific Rim, like John Boyega was there, a bunch of the Guardians actors were there, like Dave Bautista and all them. But I went to that, and then the previous week we have a convention in Baltimore called Regeneration Who, which is pretty cool that there's actually like a Doctor Who related convention in the States, not only just in the States but so close by. And I went to that, and Peter Capaldi was at that
one. Cool.
So that was cool. That was like his first thing after, you know, regenerating. So that was kind of like a historic kind of thing. But yeah, like I am going to go back to doing unboxings in the next month or so, whenever they actually get them to me. But I mean, just find your own things that you enjoy. I mean, find your niche, find the stuff that people enjoy. Just make friends. Obviously, I mean, the community is very friendly overall. I mean, that's the thing is I always, people do ask me like, how did I get to like 800? I don't know what I have, like 840 subscribers or whatever. How did I do so well? What is the key to my success?
And it's like, there's a lot of checks.
Yeah. I just paid a lot of people, but it's just like, just be yourself. You know, I mean, I treat anybody, no matter what their subscriber count is, like I treat them all basically the same. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, they only got like 40 subscribers or they got like 10,000. Like I pretty much will treat anybody the same way as long as they're like nice about, you know, they're a nice person. Like it doesn't matter like what your subscriber count is or how many views you get. I mean, yeah, I mean, views are important, but I mean, they're not the end of the world. But
yeah, we're all fans.
As long as you make good content, you know, make good content, make friends in the community. Like I've said before, like, you know, work on collabs. Cause I mean, I did fairly well my first year without really doing any collabs. And I think like some people took notice to that. Cause that's one of the things for me is that, I think one of the things for me was like, is a respect thing. Cause it's just like, I don't really care. I mean, I don't really care about my numbers really, or just like, it's one of those weird things where you see people you tried to befriend when you were smaller. And then now they're actually like taking notice of you. Cause you know, you're actually like somewhat successful.
Yeah.
With
yeah. So a girl you liked at school did like you until you're famous type thing.
Yeah, that it's been like that for me on a lesser degree. Just like, you know, you notice these people that are now like your friends or taking you know, notice of what you're doing, and then you realize like they did not care at all about me a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. But now that I wouldn't say I'm on the rise, but like I've been doing a lot more stuff recently, so more people are being drawn towards my channel. But it's nice to actually see, you know, growth and all that. I mean, of course, you know, it's a lot of hard work. Like I told you before with my schedule, like, I mean, I've been doing my own videos and then combined with like several different live streams on different channels and collabs, like, and other potential collabs. And then the podcast that we're doing right now, like I said, I got a full plate and I'm trying to juggle everything. But, you know, it's all worth it in the end. It's all good fun as long as I can make time for it.
Yeah, man. What a way to say it. There's nothing more to add to that. I mean, get yourself out there, guys. If you want to do it, go back and listen to everything that Tyler's just said, because That's what you need to do. Is
yeah.
I think the most important thing is actually reaching out to people, because if you, from what you've just said as well, if you just put things out there without any kind of communication or any sort of desire to speak to other people, you know, like I say, communicate, not even collaborate, but just reach out and try to become part of the community, then you'll find yourself, it'll take you a lot longer to get to 850 subs, to 1,000, to 2,000.
Oh, yeah, because it's, because, I mean, I started, I mean, obviously everyone starts at zero, so, yeah. I mean, so, I mean, it's just, that's, yeah, so it's just, like, a thing of you just build and become friends with these people, and you watch, the, I mean, you support each other, and then, you know, people that support them, and then you do collab videos with people, and then their supporters also, some of them decide to become supporters of your channel, and it just kind of snowballs as you, you know, become friends with more channels and all that, and then that's how your subscriber count grows. And it's just like, it's just fun, and you know, just be open to suggestions, open to new people, because I mean, there's people, you know, there's thousands of people making content related, there's like movies yeah. and all that stuff, so I mean, it's, the options are endless, and that's another thing, is like, some of these people I've been friends with for like basically like a year, like over a year now, because like I started around the same time they did. Like a lot of people I mentioned, like John from The Real Talk, Zach Pope and all them, and Adam Almost Sideways, Fraser Jubb, BS Review, Silver Screen Analysis, Ryan O'Toole. Like I've been friends with most of them for like a year or so now. And then there's these people that come around the last couple months and they're wondering like, you know, what's like, how do I like, basically like, how do I get into this club? What, how am I like, you know, what's your secret to befriending these people? Or like, how can I, or like, this person's not, you know, this person's not communicating with me. Like they communicate with you. It's like, well, I've been friends with them for like a year. So like, it's not like,
work
not
hard.
Like, yeah. It's like, it's not like I just walked up one day and was yeah. like, let's be friends. It's like, it's been over the course of a year, like watching our channels grow and doing stuff with the channel and being interactive. I mean, that really is part of the key to success in general. Well, in life, really just being, yeah, you know, yeah. not just on YouTube or, you know, podcasts or any type of medium. It's really just anything. You know, be friendly and make friends and do your thing and do the best you can and be open to suggestions and any new tips you can. I mean, I'm always learning when it comes to videos as well, with editing and, you know, new things I can try and do and tweak to make my videos better. I mean, just be open to anything, because I mean, everything's a learning experience.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody, be friendly to each other. There's no point. But it's true. There's no point
being an
idiot to anybody. Life's too short for that. And join the movie community. And I'm a little guy from Woking, living in Essex, who's now talking to a guy in Baltimore, 7 hours away, about movies. That's what it does. And I've spent an hour and a half talking films. So that's what it can do if you just put in some time, check out other people's work. Don't be selfish and just stick to your own. But otherwise, this show would just be me talking to myself, which would be bloody awful. So
yeah, that's always the worry, is like, am I just going to be like talking to myself for 5 minutes and then nobody watches it?
Yeah, and the fact that people like, subscribe, comment as well, which is crucial, comment.
True.
Shows that people are actually watching. So yeah, more power to you, keep it up. Well, that is that. We've come to the end of the road. That is that for this episode of the What I Watch Tonight show. Thank you so much for coming on and giving your time, Tyler.
That's no problem. I've had a really fun time.
It's been a blast. Where can the world find you on the in the cyberspace?
Well, I mean, my YouTube channel is just Tyler Calvert, so I mean, that's pretty obvious. And then my Twitter handle is, Tyler_Calvert23. And I also do Instagram as well. So it's just TylerCalvert23 with no underscore.
Check it out. Check out the videos that Tyler puts out. Movie reviews in around 5 minutes, capturing opinions and thoughts. In other words, they're informative and enjoyable. So what have you got to lose? 5 minutes of your day. You can go to the toilets and watch one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a good majority of my, you know, my subscriber base watches while they're on the toilet anyway, so.
Whilst you're all having a dump, go and listen to Tyler.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you're doing, as long as you watch it, I don't really care.
Well, yeah, I mean, keep it clean, guys.
Yeah.
So, but now I've got that image in my head, and I can't get out. So, thank you once again for coming on today, Tyler, and giving us those masturbation images. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
My pleasure.
No worries. You guys can catch all the episodes on our website, which is whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. Subscribe to this show on iTunes, so you'll get this episode, you'll get everyone that's come before and everyone that's going to come afterwards. We're also on a Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podknife, YouTube, We are on YouTube, believe it or not. Very slowly. We're everywhere. We're infected like a symbiote. So if you like what you hear, share the episode, tell the world. If you don't, keep your mouth shut. And of course, don't forget to tell your grandmothers, guys. But until next time, see ya. Boogie, boogie.